columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Oh, welcome to it. I mean, I know we're all dying to hear stuff like...
I'm screwing everything up!
Come on!
Oh my God, Tyler, what is wrong with you?
Get it together, it's Friday, D-Mac, let's
Bears
go!
Be walking in the crib and everything.
Oh!
That's still going.
Yeah, be walking in the crib and everything.
Is that still going on? Is that still happening?
Yeah, it does. It's a little bit weak nowadays, but it's still going on for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome to it. How's your Friday, Tyler? How you doing? What's going on?
It's been a good Friday, D-Mac. I got out outside today. I got on a 20-mile bike ride.
Wow.
Feeling kind of proud of myself nowadays. I'm telling you, I'm taking this biking thing serious. I am.
How do you know it was 20 miles?
Because I tracked it. I got an app. I put it on Twitter. I broadcasted how proud I am of myself on Twitter. Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went out of my neighborhood, and there's a dirt road that you can take kind of up into the hills a little bit. So I went up there. Then I found a nice little path to come back, went all the way down to Cherry Creek Trail, took Cherry Creek Trail for probably, 10 or 12 miles, and then found a little hook back over to my neighborhood, did two loops around the neighborhood, and back to the house, and added up to about 20 miles. So really fun,
nice.
Man. I'm taking this thing really serious. I love it, dude. This has been the most fun thing I've had for my workout since I retired.
And what's the furthest you've ever ridden a bicycle?
Well, I hate to admit it, but today.
No
was
way!
Was the furthest I've ever ridden it. Yes.
That's awesome.
But yeah, honestly, I felt fresh. I felt like I could have I could have gone twice as long, and so I'm going to continue to ramp this thing up. I apparently David Bruton did get word of my story the other day.
Oh, that's funny.
And he sent me a message on Instagram that I need to respond to. I haven't responded to it yet, but he invited me out riding with him. I'm not ready to accept that invite yet.
Yeah,
you know, David intimidates me a little bit, so I might need like another 6 months of training before I'm ready to bike with David.
Yeah, David. I mean, the last time I saw David, because he was working with the Broncos training staff, I believe, he is slimmed down. And not that he was ever, you know, he was never heavy.
Dude, he is jacked right now. He is super jacked.
Yeah, he definitely comes off as like a fitness freak sort of guy.
Yes.
And
yes.
He's training
for like a 96-mile race. I mean, come on.
Yeah. He was into the downhill mountain bike stuff, which I don't know if his coaches knew he was doing that, but that's where you wear all the safety gear and stuff, and you go as fast as you can down, you know, the mountain.
So I did that today a little bit, like nothing like crazy, but we do have some nice little hills, and we've got some nice little trails that are mountain bike trails right behind my neighborhood. And I tell you what, that's terrifying.
I mean,
you get going. I was feeling super confident in myself, and then all of a sudden there was a hard left that I didn't really I didn't forecast that was in my future. and boy, that hard left, it was almost the end of me.
Did you fall?
I stayed up. No, I stayed up. But it's an absolute miracle that I didn't. I didn't fall. I'm definitely sticking with the mountain bike, though, D-Mac. You're trying to talk me into the road bike. For now, I like having the mountain bike. I like the ability to go off road a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. I mean,
I do pump my tires up really high, so they're nice and firm for the road.
Do you know how to change a tire?
Yes, absolutely. I've done it before.
Oh, okay. All right. Good for you. I don't know how to change a tire. So I sort of seen people do it a million times, but I don't have the little kit. I don't know how to do it. And I was doing all of these biking things, and I was always like, oh, my God, I hope I never get a flat tire. And sure enough, I was doing one of these crazy long-distance sort of deals and blew out a tire, And I just stood there by the side of the road, and it was so helpless. But somebody came over, and she took care of business for me, and I was very, very grateful and embarrassed and the whole thing. I was just embarrassed that I didn't know how to – I wasn't embarrassed I got a flat tire. Like, everybody gets a flat tire. It was just embarrassing that I didn't know how to fix it myself.
So my man, Brendan Chobb, a teammate of mine at CU.
Comedy guy. Yeah.
He's doing this like Thick Boys Bike Club that is trending all over Twitter. Brendan is like a Twitter superstar. I mean, he's got some serious reach, and so I searched the hashtag today, and everybody puts up all these photos, and so I sent him a little message today with my map and how far I went, and I asked how far do I need to go to get initiated into the gang, because I want to be in the gang. I want to be in it.
What's the number?
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
But I want to be in the gang. And matter of fact, I'm sort of thinking, you know, Big O had his hikes with Big O. Maybe I ought to do some bikes with our listeners. Maybe I'd do some bike rides with our listeners. What should the name be? Help me with the name.
Oh, man. Ragnar's Riders.
Good. That's good. That's really good.
Ride with Ragnar, something like that.
Ride with Ragnar. I love it.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Hashtag ride with Ragnar.
Yeah, man. It's you're about 3 weeks away from buying the bike shorts. And
I bought them today.
Oh, there you go. You got them.
You know what? I got the ones with little cushion on the rear end also.
That's how they all come. Because, that's the way they are.
The only reason I bought it was because I realized after 20 miles, boy, yep. I think I got some bruises down there right now.
Oh, man, you're about...
I did not buy the shirt yet, but I feel like if I've got the shorts, I might as well go with the shirt as well, right?
I'll give you 3 weeks from that, because you're going to do a ride more than 30 miles at some point, and you're going to want a snack. And you're going to want to be like, well, how the hell do I carry a snack? And then you're going to realize, oh, those shirts have pockets on the back. I could carry a snack right in the shirt. And then you're going to just get a shirt.
Yeah, I should do it. Matter of fact, has anybody got like a printing company that, you know, I need like a custom Ragnar shirt, you know, Team Ragnar.
Team Ragnar. I don't know. We probably got people out there.
I might even be able to pick up some sponsors on this thing, you know?
There you go. Why not? You can't have a bike shirt if it doesn't have, you know, 100 different sponsors on it. It's like NASCAR. Well, it is No Offense Friday, right?
Yeah.
Hey, no offense to Michael Jordan, but apparently everybody hates you.
Oh, boy, has that ever been true.
Dude, this is not stopping, man. So they had Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges, and Ron Harper on a website last night. And, man, Horace Grant in particular. And near the end of this conversation, it was like 45 minutes, the question is, if Michael Jordan was having a 65th birthday, would you go? Here's Horace Grant's.
Hey, I'm not even opening the damn invitation. Oh, stupid.
Bill, you going?
Okay, where's the party at?
There we go, Bill.
Party's in Florida at a beautiful mansion.
I can't get there.
Harp, you going?
Oh, I'm going to go. I'm gonna drink and eat all this food. I was smoking cigars.
Oh my god!
Wow! Crazy. Holy cow, D-Mac, that was insane. I watched that entire thing. I think you did as well.
Yeah.
Boy, those guys! I cannot believe the way they're talking about Michael Jordan. Seriously.
Yeah. More of Horace Grant.
Let me get back to something, because I had to vent now. I got this opportunity. Didn't he call all of his former teammates out with the cocaine and the weed and the women?
Yes.
So who's the snitch? Okay.
Big point, Horace.
Hey, if I had a mic, I'd drop it.
He just kept going, man.
Horace was by far the most vocal of the bunch. The other ones, they had to be goaded into it a little bit. They had to kind of get a little bit of a safe place, realize everybody else was telling some stories. But Horace was the one, I mean, by far the most vocal of them all.
Yeah, here's the one that I think I think this one right here.
Play the food one. Play the food one.
All right, I'll play the food one first. Yeah. So what did Michael Jordan say? He was going to take somebody's food?
So MJ told the story that after the game, they were on the plane, and he told the flight stewardess to not give Horace Grant the food because he didn't play well enough. Right. And allegedly, the poor flight attendant got put in a bad spot and had to choose MJ over Horace Grant. Horace Grant, here's his response.
Right.
Let me clear something up about this food thing, that he tried to take my food. Listen to me. Where's the camera? I would have beat his guys. He can say to the story if he want to. Oh, yeah, he should eat. That's okay. Go ahead. You know, I'm gonna say what I have to say. But you come back and try to take my food, I would have whipped your. It wouldn't be no Air Jordan right now.
You're right. Okay? Yeah, Bill, stop the fight. Bill, stop the fight.
Hey. Yeah, it wouldn't be no 6 championships, I guarantee you that.
Yeah, Horace Grant.
There would be no Air Jordans.
Horace Grant runs 6'10 and a half. What do you think Jordan is? 6'5, 6'6, something like that?
Sure, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, Horace Grant is just a much larger human being than Michael Jordan.
It's kind of sad, man. It's kind of sad to see this. I don't know. I had no idea, D-Mac. Okay, I had no idea before this documentary that it was this bad. I had no idea that MJ was this offensive to his teammates. Yeah. I knew he was demanding. I knew that he had an incredible reputation for his leadership skills because he was so demanding. He held everybody to high standard. Just the accountability was at a next level. We all knew those stories. But before this documentary, I had no idea that his teammates felt this way about him.
It's pretty wild,
man. You know what? Do you think we're going to hear Scotty at some point? Is Scotty going to turn on him?
There's no way Scotty Pippen can be happy. Now, listen, when Scotty Pippen didn't come off the bench for the last second, that was terrible. Like, everybody has admitted that was terrible. Although Scotty Pippen in the documentary said he'd do the same thing, which was like, yeah, be kidding me. But he also said that he had apologized for it later on, which is a little confusing. But here's what was interesting. But I'll play Horace Grant talking about them bashing Pippen and then explain more.
It was straight up. Scotty. I mean, being the number two on that team and how he came out against Utah to barely walk, like how I said, setting screens, getting knocked on the floor, the whole 9 yards. And for them, that documentary to call him, well, MJ calls him selfish. That's some BS. That's straight up BS. If it wasn't for Scottie Pippen, there would be no 6 championship. I'm telling you right now, guys.
And, you know, they explained, they talked about, and this made sense to me. If everything was signed off by Michael Jordan, which we know it was in the documentary, right? Everything got his approval.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So that means everything. That means if he wanted things in, they'd be in. If he wanted things out, they'd be out. And essentially, the theme of the documentary was about the 98 season, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the timeline was horribly confusing for me, but sure.
But
that's what it all came back to.
Ultimately, it was about Michael Jordan and the 6 championships and the 98 season, and Michael Jordan got final edit control on everything.
Correct.
Well, then why, even though Scottie Pippen was wrong to do it, why did they even include that whole segment on Scottie Pippen not going into the game when Michael Jordan wasn't even on that team? Michael Jordan was playing baseball.
Well, that's the problem with these documentaries, D-Mac. Anytime you put yourself in a situation like that, you're gonna start talking about your peers, and you're going to be forced to give an opinion on them. He didn't have to. Matter of fact, I shouldn't say you're forced to, because you're right. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. He wanted to do that. He wanted to call him out for that.
He didn't have to keep that in the documentary.
Sure.
He could have just focused on baseball. They could have said, they lost to so-and-so. It wasn't a documentary just about the team. It was more focused on Michael Jordan anyways.
Did you hear Cartwright bashing him for playing baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here we go, right here. I got it.
You know, you asked about what was our best championship years. our best championship, or probably the one we didn't play, ooh, is when our star decided to be a baseball player. I felt that that year when we lost to the Knicks, that would have by far been our easiest championship.
Wow.
So but that's another question that will never be answered. So we'll just have to get past that.
He's talking about baseball like he went off into that little baseball thing. You know, it was a joke to them. It's like, hey, man, I get it. It was tough with your dad and all that, but you left us behind, man. We were counting on you. We had won 3 championships in a row.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you're going off to play another sport? Here's Grant. Horace Grant was unbelievable about the Pippen stuff.
I mean, the first championship, I think MJ got in foul trouble against the Lakers and Magic. Who came to the rescue? Number 33, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen. And yes, indeed, he made a mistake. We addressed that after the game. And it was over with. And we took the Knicks to 7 games. And my question is, how in the hell did that get on this documentary when MJ wasn't even on the team?
There you go.
Man. Man. Really, really good point there, for sure. MJ went out of his way to bash him. Just flat out went out of his way.
Out of his way? And why, man? Why did you need to do that? You didn't. And his teammates can see it. How about, you know, you're having a 65th birthday party. Nobody really wants to go.
I'm not opening the invitation.
I'm not even opening
the
invitation.
Where is it? It's in Florida in some nice mansion. Nah, I can't make it to Florida. Can't make it there.
These are guys, I'll go so I can drink all of his drinks and eat all of his food. I mean, wow. Man, that's the price of greatness? That's what you have to leave in your wake?
No, that's not the price of greatness,
hey, Tyler,
D-Mac. That's not
Tyler,
the price of greatness.
If Peyton Manning was having a 65th birthday party and invited everybody from the Super Bowl 50 team, who would be there?
Every single last person would be there. I mean, anybody that had the capability of going there outside of emergencies or whatever it might be, they would all be there. Of course, look, man, people will talk about Peyton Manning. If you get a documentary about Peyton Manning in 10 years and you go back and you ask his teammates, what was he like? Yeah, you'll hear people talking about the accountability. Yeah, you'll hear people talking about how he was a tough guy to play around. You'll hear people talking about how at times it could be a scary environment. All that can be true, but Peyton Manning had the ability to be a human being also. He had the ability to turn it off once he got inside the locker room. He had the ability to put on the gold chain and start doing funny things and relate with everybody. Nobody's going to talk about Peyton Manning like they don't like the human being, but they might talk about the accountability and they might talk about how it was a tough place to play.
If Jay Cutler was having a 65th birthday, who's showing up for that one?
Not me. I can't get there. I can't find the invitation.
It's going to be held at in the clubhouse.
Be honest. I wasn't getting the invitation anyways, but I'm not going out of my way. I'm not buying a plane ticket. No.
If Jake Plummer's having a 65th birthday party, who's going?
I bet you all of them.
If Tiger Woods is having a 65th birthday party, who's going?
I don't know. Who's going, D-Mac?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he stands. I think everybody has a certain amount of respect for him, but
I think he's got a pretty complicated life himself.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Catered by Perkins.
Might be a few ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, but who knows? Who knows is trying to come to that particular party?
Right.
The price of being a champion, man.
No, it's not the price of being a champion. Don't say that. That's just not true.
If Tom Brady's having a 65th birthday party, who's coming?
I don't know. I never played around Tom Brady, but from my understanding, I think a lot of people.
Yeah.
I the offensive linemen that I know, Nate Solder, a handful of other guys, they speak of him glowingly, absolutely glowingly.
Yeah. That is vicious to hear that kind of response, man. These are guys he won championships with.
You know what's amazing, D-Mac?
Damn.
It is actually flat out amazing that it took 30 some years for all this to come out, you know?
Yeah, but I can see where these 20, guys.
I'm not good at math. 25 years, 24 years. I mean, what year did all this start in, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He was probably a jerk from the get-go.
Probably.
You know, I mean, he probably always was. I don't know how you can even debate the fact the guy was just a jerk. You know, when his teammates are saying what they're saying. And by the way, they definitely got defensive about he needed to be like he was raising like the high tide raising all boats. They were saying in this conversation, we're grown men. I mean, he was great. They all acknowledge he was great. Nobody's denying he's not great, right? Nobody's saying that.
No, of course not.
But they're also saying, well, we were pretty good too.
Although at the very end, they asked them all, is LeBron or MJ the greatest? And you know, they all kind of stuttered a little bit. Even Horace, he stuck with MJ for now, but he said, well, look, LeBron's got 2 or 3 years left, so let's see what happens. Let's see how it all finishes up for LeBron. But
yeah, here's what he said. I got it right here.
Right now, I would have to say MJ. But saying that, I mean, LeBron is still playing. I think he got 2 or 3 more years. Come to me after he retired, then I give you my answer.
Like, he wants LeBron to be better than
MJ. Absolutely. Absolutely, he wants it to be LeBron.
He can't be, though. Because
they called out Scott Burrell, by the way. They called him out for not being man enough to step up to MJ.
That was interesting, wasn't it? That was an interesting
point. So was MJ only like this with the guys that allowed it?
Yeah, interesting.
You know, like, I believe Horace Grant. I really do. I absolutely believe him that there is no way he was going to let MJ talk to him like that. There was no way he was going to let MJ steal his food. If you stole his food, there was going to be a confrontation. I absolutely believe these guys. Look at those guys. I mean, they're scary in their own right, every last one of them.
I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, and there was this kid who was a senior, Mike Gagnon, and He was like the Michael Jordan to me. Like, first of all, I really looked up to him because he was the same size as me. He played soccer, basketball, and baseball, all three of my same sports, and we all played the same position. But I was younger than him, so I really, you know, he was my guy, or he should have been my guy. But he just looked at me as like a threat, and it was like 9 straight months because we're in every single sport, Tyler, the entire year together.
Yep. Yep.
And finally, it was like summer baseball. So it's like 9 months of this guy giving me crap. We're on 3 teams in a row, fall, winter, spring, together. And now we're in summer baseball, and he's still giving me crap. And at one point, I had just had it.
What'd you do, D-Mac? How'd you stand up?
I told him to F off.
Yeah.
And to his face and in front of you know, his friends who were on the team, too. And he came up to me and got in my face and started talking about fighting me. And I go, if you got to swing, swing. You know, like, I'm not going to throw the first one, but go ahead.
Did he swing?
And what do you think? What do you think most bullies do when you confront them?
Well, they back down.
He backed down. And I was only 15 years old at the time. He was 18.
I mean, I would never back down from a human being as small as you, but yeah, you know, other people.
Well, we're kind of the same size. But what happened was it happened in front of – this is Scott Burrell's problem, is he let Michael Jordan bully him in front of everybody else. And so this had been going on for months. And when I finally stood up to this dude in front of his friends, all of his friends, including his brother, by the way, who was on the team – instantly, like a snap of the fingers, had more respect for me. And I sat there and I was like, oh my God, why did I wait so long? But I was 15. I didn't know any better. But this is happening in the NBA? This is happening with grown men? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, to a degree, like Scott Burrell, like, bro, you just cannot sit there and just take that, man. I mean, you're just going to lose respect from everybody, aren't you?
I know, absolutely. You know, at some point, you got to stand up for yourself. And most of the time, when you do stand up for yourself, it ends up in a positive manner for you.
Remember when Isaiah McKenzie was crying in the locker room because Chris Harris was, like, tormenting him after practice one day?
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't that on Thanksgiving?
Right around that time.
I think it was Thanksgiving Day or something like that.
Oh, my God. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It was. That's right. It was Thanksgiving freaking Day.
It was like the ultimate irony of it was supposed to be on Thanksgiving Day. Hey, I'm thankful for all you teammates. You guys are just absolute best. You guys are fantastic. Oh.
Yeah, and it's like when we talk about Paxton, the crying stuff. Hey, man, to a degree, it's wrong. It is wrong to bully somebody. It is. You shouldn't do it. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen on any level. It's wrong for it to happen. But on the same tip, you just cannot sit there.
Hey, I'll tell you this. In middle school, believe it or not, I did get bullied big time.
Yeah.
In middle school was absolutely miserable for me. I'd come home nights and I'd be crying at home, telling my parents how bad it's been. One day, I come home and I am crying, and my dad's asking me what happened. And I said, I sat down at the lunch table and they all got up and moved to the next lunch table. And it was all because of this one guy. And I want to say his name right now so bad, but I'm going to be bigger than that because I know we're local. And I know it'll get back to him, but he knows who it is. So if you're listening, trust me, I still remember. And so I tell my dad about it that night. And I said, Dad, I think I'm going to get in a fight. I think I'm going to fight this guy tomorrow. I can't take this anymore. Mm. So my dad, he didn't really know how to respond to that. And so he looks down and he calmly looks up and he says very methodically, son, if you swing, don't stop. And so, you know what? The next day, I did get in a fight. It lasted about 15 seconds, but I stood my ground. We both ended up in detention, and I promise you, not another day forward did that happen to me. Not another day.
We're not advocating violence, but you got to stand up for yourself. I agree. You do have to stand up for yourself. You do. You can't. Michael Jordan was a classic jerk bully, pushing guys around to try to intimidate them. They didn't need it to be a championship team, but that's who he was, and he has to suffer those ramifications. He has to be the one that realized these guys are done with him while they acknowledge he's great. You know, these are not lifelong friends of Michael Jordan's. He's lost that privilege. All right, interesting stuff. When we come back, the three-point stance. The three-point stance is a point of controversy? Really? We'll have the details of that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliant Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliant has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliant Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
How'd you catch this, Tyler? The three-point stance is in debate. Could the three-point stance become a thing of the past? Pop Warner players, that's age 5 through 10, including all offensive and defensive linemen, are prohibited from putting their hand in the ground before the snap. John Butler, the executive director, said, quote, "It's just kind of intuitively obvious," saying that any pre-snap positioning and a two-point stance would prevent many instances of, oh, this is for concussion sort of stuff. So in less than a year, the pilot study has emerged to help confirm these instincts. I got a little audio here.
For years, health experts have been concerned about the subconcussive hits that offensive and defensive linemen absorb in the moments after a football is snapped. When they rise up from their stances, the first point of contact with an opponent is too often their head. Now, for the first time, we have academic research to show how a significant percentage of that contact can be avoided. According to data compiled by researchers from Stanford and Purdue, after a study performed in the Spring League, offensive linemen would avoid 40% of those subconcussive hits if three-point stances were outlawed. Football is already evolving away from the three-point stance because of the spread offense, but the data supports the health benefits as well. As Stanford's Paul Auerbach told me, "The real take-home message here is that we can study these things. Instead of arguing about it based on opinion, you can generate the data on it."
Wow. And in 2010, Roger Goodell contemplated eliminating the three-point stance at the NFL level.
Oh, please.
Goodell said, quote, "As you'll see tonight," I guess this was some sort of game they were watching, "a lot of players never get down in the three-point stance, so it's possible that would happen." Wow. Tyler. The three-point stance under attack.
Well, apparently Roger Goodell is watching college football, not NFL football, because I couldn't tell you a single game that I've ever watched in which offensive linemen are not primarily in a three-point stance. Now, you will see the open side tackle, so the tackle that is not covered by a tight end. The majority of teams gives that player the ability to be in a two-point stance whenever he wants. So run or pass, he could be in a two-point stance. But the rest of the guys, they're down in a three-point outside of obvious passing downs. And obvious passing downs, everybody gets up into a two-point stance, and you do what you got to do to be in a good position to block. You know, taking out the three-point stance, D-Mac, okay, I get it. I'm well aware of the repetitive nature of what that does for your head. I'm well aware of how scary that can be, and I'm well aware of how dangerous that is. You know, when you hit your head every single play, of course that's going to be more impactful than just getting one tremendous blow every few games. It adds up over time, and it's a very dangerous situation. But it's on the coaches. It's on coaches to teach these kids how to not play with your head. Stop playing with your head. Don't hit with your head. And here's the proper technique. Get your hands underneath, engage, roll your hips into them and explode up, and use your arms to go up and don't lean. So if you teach the kids proper technique, you give them a fighting chance. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like you could take the head blows out of the game entirely. You can't. Of course, there's going to be many, many plays throughout a game in which your head does hit first, but you can coach it out the best you possibly can, and you can give them a fighting chance. Look, man, at some point it's just going to stop being football. And and if you like watching college football, and I don't mind it. I'm not a college football hater by any means, but look, it's soft as a pillow, and there's a reason. They're in these spread formations. The offensive linemen are 4 or 5 yards apart from one another. They're in a two-point stance, and everything's going east and west rather than north and south. So I'm not a fan of it. I don't think that that's really what needs to be done. What really needs to be done more than anything, and more important than anywhere, is at the Pop Warner level. Get these dang coaches educated. Mm-hmm. I mean, get them educated. I was playing in Atlanta, and I went down to my son's soccer game. And right next door, I'm watching these kids that couldn't have been older than 8, 9 years old. And they're going through this Oklahoma drill. And I'm literally, my head's exploding. Like, what are you doing? And then they put them in the chutes, and they just put going straight warboard style. And I my head's exploding, D-Mac. I'm watching this, and I'm trying to not get irritated. Teach these kids how to play football, okay? If you're going to let young kids play football, which personal choice, my son's not going to play until middle school. That's my personal choice. But I'm not judging anybody that lets their kids play earlier. Just make sure the coach knows what the heck they're doing, and don't have them do dumb things. You don't have to teach an 8-year-old how to be tougher. That's not what they need. They need to learn how to be athletic. They need to learn how to play the game, and they need to learn the absolute fundamentals that are actually going to keep them safer in a very dangerous game. I cannot stand young football coaches. This honestly is a hot button of mine, but I cannot stand young football coaches that are out there trying to make them tougher.
My man! Killing us with truth. I love it.
The coaches educated, man.
I'm not going to argue with you. I always
and that's why, D-Mac, I can also promise you this. I will be the coach of my son's football team. Now, other sports, if he wants me to be involved, I will be involved, but I'm not going to force it. But football, I will be the coach. And there is no chance I'm letting some other idiot go out there and put damage on my kid.
Good stuff, dude. Good stuff. All right. So there's nothing wrong with it if it's done the right way. And the issue is you're just doing things the wrong way.
Correct.
Too many times.
Correct.
It looks awkward, the three-point stance for big guys. It looks like hard to do.
What do you mean? Try getting in a two-point stance during the break and then trying to go forwards. just seriously, try going forwards out of a two-point stance.
How would you run block
it's tougher than you would think.
How would you run block out of a two-point stance?
Well, you've done it many times, and I've certainly done it thousands and thousands of times over the course of my career, but it's not the stance of choice. Definitely not when you're in a short yardage. In a short yardage situation, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Well, you end up going east and west more often rather than north and south because you just can't get the momentum going forwards.
Well, we'll break down more college football with Justin Strnad. Boy, nice dose of ACC football that we were looking at there. Wasn't that fun? Oh, and by the way, real quick, on NBCSN or one of those networks, they were replaying the 1990 and 1991 Orange Bowl with all the fellas from back in the day, all of our buddies. And it was so, I mean, one year they lost, which was terrible, but the next year they won, and it was the broadcast of that game. Man, see you, Tyler, my man. See you. First of all, they had some badass uniforms.
Those... You know, I was at the game they lost. I was there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah, against Notre Dame. And I'll never forget it, man, because I had this old Uncle Bob. I had Uncle Bob. We were on the CU team plane, like the fan plane, charter plane.
Cool.
And Uncle Bob was a Notre Dame fan. My pops played for CU.
Yeah.
So, of course, we were rooting for CU. And Uncle Bob, he tells me on the plane ride out there, he says, Tyler, I'm just going to tell you right now. Get yourself ready because Notre Dame doesn't lose. They just don't. They don't lose. And after the game, I walked up to him in the stands and I started bawling. And I just turned to him and I go, "You're right. They don't lose."
Until the next year.
Hold on. I'm not done with my story. So my dad, you know, having been a CU football player, he's a huge fan of Coach McCartney, just absolutely huge fan of the human being and as a football coach, but more in particular of the human being. And so my dad wrote him a handwritten letter telling him this story about me and how I went to the game, how I cried. And he just said, look, the only reason I tell you is to let you know you've got so many people out here that are pulling for you. You're a phenomenal man. My son loves you. And keep up the good work. Coach McCartney wrote back, and to this day I have this letter, D-Mac. He wrote back, and it was very short. It was very simple. But it just said, Tyler, keep the faith. We'll be back. And the next year they won the day.
Dude, come on.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, that was on last night. It was fun to relive that and watch it and see, oh, my gosh, so many. It's really cool. Really, really cool. And let's hope we get back there, right? Let's hope we get back there. Okay. There is a crazy interaction on social media between two Broncos, and they both have the same last name. And it is a classic debate amongst those that have kids and those that don't. We got some Bronco on Bronco crime to bring to you next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Oh, I love the song, Tyler. This is my jam back in the day, Tyler.
Oh,
jam.
I can see it.
Did you see Devontae Harris and Shelby Harris, like...
I did see
basically
this.
Basically yelling at each other on Twitter today?
I did, yeah. Yeah, a little bit unusual, yes.
Yeah, Zach Bye tweeted this out, and I saw it, and I was like, wow. Man. But these are two guys, both on the Broncos, both playing defense, but boy, are they on opposite sides of the spectrum on this particular topic. Do you got it pulled up right in front of you? Can you see what I'm talking about? Or,
I can here in just a second.
I was thinking
like
maybe
you
we
should
could,
have been properly prepped for this, and you should have had it pulled up yourself. But don't worry, I'll cover you, D-Mac. I got it right here.
No,
okay?
I got it.
Okay,
I'm looking at it. I'm wondering if we could maybe reenact their.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Their Twitter beef.
Yes. Who would you like to take?
It doesn't matter. Who do you identify more with, Devontae Harris or Shelby Harris?
Shelby Harris.
Shelby Harris.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's a little bigger. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. You got it? You see it?
I got it. No, I'm here.
All right. Here you go. I'm Devontae Harris, and you're Shelby Harris.
Okay.
If I see another parent walking around with a mask on and their toddler doesn't, I'm slapping them.
Yeah. Strong statement from somebody who doesn't have kids.
If the child doesn't have on a mask, neither should the parent. Plain and simple.
What child is going to sit there with a mask on? You obviously don't understand children.
My last statement must have been a blur or something.
This is just an awful take. just an awful take by someone who doesn't have kids trying to tell people like me who does have kids what they should do.
I don't have kids, but I have a little cousins and a niece who I demanded a mask on when they're with me and they listen. Emoji shrug shoulders. Mm. You have to make it fun for them like a game.
Mm. Can I ad-lib? I want to add some things in here. But no, I'm not going to ad-lib. I'm going to stay true. I'm going to stay true here. This is really what Shelby Harris had said. I'm a parent. You don't need to tell me what to do. Smiley emoji, cry face emoji, you know, everybody, everything's cool over here, guys, but I'm actually really ticked off. You know, anytime you got to put that in there, you're obviously a little bit ticked off.
Yes.
That's cool that your nieces are cool with that, but most aren't. And sometimes you can't leave your kids at home, especially if you're a single parent. Then what are you going to do since you don't have all the answers?
Did I say leave your kids at home? Sorry.
That's not what Shelby said. That's not what Shelby said. He didn't say to leave the kids at home. You're not listening to
Either Monty. Find a way to get them to wear it, or don't wear one along with them. End of story.
All right, dude. All right. I'm going to let you keep thinking that you're right here, but this is just an awful take.
Thanks, boss. I'll continue on with my day, as you should.
That's all I got. The rest is cut off.
Shelby goes, always do. I'll keep kicking it with my kids being a parent.
Wow.
Dang.
Man.
Holy
man.
Cow.
Good old parent war.
Wow.
I will say this. It is always good advice if you don't have children to not judge other parents with children. I'm going to give that advice. I've been on the plane. I've been there with pre-kids. And I was very judgmental of all those screaming children. Those were terrible parents, and that was never going to be my kid. Now that I'm a parent, every single flight attendant that comes over to me and says, sir, you got to get the seatbelt on your child. You got to get your seatbelt. I'm trying to get the seatbelt on them, all right? Have you ever had kids? When was the last time you had a kid on a plane? Because they're not that easy to control. I'm trying to put the seatbelt on.
Whew. Goodness gracious.
Boy, two teammates going at it on Twitter, huh?
I tell you, the whole, like, the kid, the 20, late 20s or early 30s with kids and no kids is such a classic battle, man. It is. You really do see the world so much different when you and I got to say this to defend people that don't have kids. I get how it must be annoying when people who do have kids claim they absolutely know everything. And that does happen sometimes. Because I have a kid, I just know better than you about everything. And that your opinion just doesn't matter at all.
I think that's a totally relevant statement. I really do. I really do. Until you've lived a day in the life.
I've lived it. You've lived it. I just can recognize that how obnoxious
it is. A dog is not the same.
What do you mean?
Somebody on the text line said, I have a dog. That's kind of the same. No, it's not.
Don't. You're going to lose that one, I promise you, if you make that argument. But I'm a little bit more sensitive to those that don't have kids. What a battle, though. I just learned to just, you know, keep my mouth shut on it for the most part. You know, you just, you know, everybody thinks they know better. Oh, I have a kid, so I know everything better and this. This is crazy, though.
I mean, now I get on a plane and I see a mother that's struggling, and I give them a pat on the back and I give them a high five after the plane ride's over, and I say, well done.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's well appreciated for sure. does this matter, man? Seriously, Devontae Harris and Shelby Harris? This, because there was no lighthearted moments in here at all. And by the way, Devontae was just sort of making a comment. And he wasn't reaching out to Shelby. Shelby just kind of responded on his own. It's not like he, you know, at-tweeted Shelby Harris.
Yeah, it matters a little, I think. Something's a little bit off there.
It's crazy to see that kind of beef between two teammates like that.
Yeah, something's a little bit off there. You don't see that stuff happen. You know, every now and then you might see somebody engage in a tweet or two, but to have an entire thread like this going on, that's unusual.
Yeah, man, and it's still up there. They have not deleted it, and that was the interaction, a little Harris-on-Harris crime. Wow. Okay. Well, we're always keeping things interesting out there. So now there's Devontae Harris and Shelby Harris yelling at each other about COVID-19 and kids. There you go. There's some entertainment for
something
y'all.
Something I didn't think we were going to be talking about today.
Football at 4 is next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.